Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
We're going to read from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And you know what? Oh, look, there it is. Give our guys a round of applause. Brilliant. And we're going to read through this together, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. No one will be able to stand against you, Joshua, all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left, from the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful. Hang on, what are we doing here? Peter's keeping up, I'm not. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Everyone say strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As we continue our Real Faith series this morning, I want to start by reminding us what Russell so powerfully shared with us last week, that faith is a continuous relational stance, an expression of deep relational trust. We last year when we talked about faith, introduced this idea of faith as relational trust. We used this language, faith as relational trust, being less about a muscle that we flex and more about a love that we pursue. And so this morning, our lesson is how to live a life of relational trust, and Joshua is going to be our teacher. He is going to be our example this morning of how to live a life of real faith, relational trust. And you will have noticed as we read through this scripture, rather clumsily by me, that three times Joshua says, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now on hearing this, Joshua, and maybe us too, might be tempted to misunderstand the assignment. Maybe we would filter this instruction through a modern self-help lens, thinking that God is telling us to manufacture or muster up some kind of inner strength and courage through sheer willpower. And so maybe we jump in front of the mirror, which I know all you men do, and we hype ourselves up trying to manufacture strength. You got this, Aaron. You can do this. It's you versus the world. Who's going to win? Is that your morning mantra? Maybe there's some kind of TikTok technique that you've adopted and some kind of mindfulness exercise that you're going to go to in order to step into this courage and strength. But the key for Joshua, the key for you, the key for me, is found before and after this call to be strong and courageous. You might have noticed the first time that we read, be strong and courageous, is found in verse 6. But listen to what it says in verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Now, twice more, Joshua is going to be told to be strong and courageous. In verse 7 and then lastly in verse 9, Joshua hears these words for a third time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then look at what comes next. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That, my friends, is an invitation into relational trust. Joshua, you can trust that I am with you. And Joshua would have seen what it meant when God was with Moses. When God was with Moses, Joshua would have seen and known that it meant deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from bondage. He would have known that it meant miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, supernatural provision, manna, quail, water flowing from rocks. It meant protection. It meant victory over the enemy. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. But more than all that, when Joshua heard these words, I will be with you, it would have awakened something deep within his core memories. He would have remembered stories that had been told to him since he was a young boy, because that exact promise, that exact phrase had been spoken over Jacob, had been spoken over Isaac, had been spoken over Moses, and now was being spoken over Joshua. Speaks to the one of the key or core foundations of the Israelite faith, their belief that their God, the God of Israel, is the God who accompanies, leads, protects, fights, and goes with the people he has called and chosen. He is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Because I am with you, you do not have to be afraid. Because I am with you, you do not have to be discouraged. Because I am with you, you can be strong and courageous. Church, that very same promise is ours to take hold of today. It's the very same promise Jesus says to his disciples. In fact, it's one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples, I will be with you always. You find that in Matthew 28. And this is the foundation of real faith, this relational trust that you and I have been invited into. God is with us. God is near. Meaning we don't have to try and manufacture strength and courage. It comes as we learn and understand this foundational truth that God is with us. Knowing that will give us all the courage and all the strength that we would need. Because of his great love for us and his presence that surrounds us, that is upon us, within us, we do not have to be afraid. And if you remember nothing else this morning, I think the rest of my message is going to be pretty solid. It's going to be good. But if you remember nothing else, remember this. God is with you. God is with you. His presence surrounds you. As you go into your week and face all the decisions that need to be made, as you face the relational breakdowns that you might be navigating, some of the fears and anxieties that are waiting for you in your week, as you go about your parenting, as you face particular health concerns or financial challenges, do it knowing that your God is with you. He is alongside of you. And because of that, you can be strong and courageous. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you are strong, you are courageous. God is with you. God is with you. That changes everything. Just that one promise, that one truth changes everything. I mean, and if we can go into our week holding on to that truth, it changes everything. But here's the thing I want to stop and slow down and kind of lean into for a little while. Before it changes everything, it'll change you. Before the truth of God being with you changes your circumstances and changes different things that are happening in and around your life, first and foremost, it will change you. See, God knew what he was doing when he gave Joshua the promise of his presence before he gave him his assignment. Before he told Joshua what it was that he was going to go on and accomplish, first he established the promise of his presence right from the very beginning. If you read through the book of Joshua, you'll see that it's filled with all kinds of things that he is going to go on and do for God. He's going to lead the people into the promised land. He's going to drive out the enemies. Did you know that Joshua fought 32 significant battles in the book of Joshua, and he won all but one? That's pretty significant. Joshua is going to go on and lead a pretty significant life. He's going to lead the nation into repentance. He's going to pray and see the sun stand still. Anyone done that in their prayers lately? I mean, I felt like yesterday was longer than what it normally would be. But before Joshua sets off to do any of this, God begins by building up his inner world. Because God's primary kingdom strategy is to free up and build up your inner world. First and foremost, before he gives you your assignment, before he leads you into bringing change into circumstances and bringing change and influencing your world, the first thing he's going to do, his kingdom strategy, is to free up and build up your inner world, your inner life. He's going to speak to your identity. You know, who knows, we can get so exhausted trying to change things in our own strength, trying to manipulate and move. God wants to build inner worlds that transform outer worlds. He's going to start by building up and strengthening. Paul says this in Ephesians 6:10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Speaking strength, be strong. Let God build up your inner man. Let him build up your inner world. All of these things, that these dreams and these hopes, these things that he's called you to put your hand to do, first, let him build up. Let him build strength. Speak strength and courage. Speak identity into your inner world. It's what it means to have faith, to walk by faith, to trust in the strength of God to meet your needs as you face the challenges of life. To be strong in the strength that God provides. And if I can be strong in the strength that God provides, I will then be courageous. Amen? Real faith begins as we learn to live from this truth. So God's first move is always internal transformation before it is external execution. Before God asks Joshua to do anything, he first empowers him by his presence to be someone. I am with you, presence, be identity, strong and courageous. Because real faith is about who we are before it's about what we do. You know, time and time again, we make faith more about what we do. God wants to establish faith, this idea of relational trust. It's about identity first and foremost. I mean, sure, it'll flow out into what you do. Can't forget that or neglect that. Faith without works is dead, but it's an internal work before it's an external work. It's going to deal with your identity before it gets on and leads you into anything else. God spoke to Joshua's who before he released him into his what. And we see this pattern happen time and time again in Scripture. We see it in Gideon. God finds Gideon hiding in the wine press. And before Gideon does anything, before he's given his assignment, God calls him mighty warrior. We see this with Jesus in his own life as he's about to begin his ministry. Before Jesus steps out, the Father comes and in his baptism and descends upon him in a dove, and he says, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He speaks identity. He speaks to his who before he is released into his what. I think so often we're so busy just to get out and get it done, and we get this sense of God's call, but we haven't yet had him establish in our inner world, in our inner life, who we are, that we are sons, that we are daughters, that we are loved. We don't have to earn love, that we are approved. We don't have to go out and seek approval. And let me tell you, that changes everything. And so God starts with Joshua. He's got a whole lot of things he's going to go out and accomplish, but first and foremost, he wants to get this established. Joshua, you are who you are because I am with you. And because I am with you, you are strong and you are courageous. This is who you are called to be. It's who before you are what. You know, most of the challenges in your life are going to be identity problems before they're anything else. The challenges that you are facing, if we were to sit down and have a conversation, there may be some practical things that you can implement, some practical things that you could start doing. But at the core of it, at the heart of it, chances are, it's going to be connected to an identity problem. Lack in our life is often, not always, often connected to an identity problem. Sons and daughters know they have a father who provides all things. It's not so much that we have lack, maybe it's just more how we perceive that lack to be in our life. We're anxious, we're stressed. An identity that confirms that we are sons and we are daughters, and that God knows the number of hair on our heads, that he cares for the birds of the air, how much more so for us? Fear, more often than not, is often established to an identity problem before it's an external reality or circumstance that we're facing. When our identity is secure in the love of God, the perfect love that casts out all fear, we can face the challenges knowing who we are, and we have a whole different perspective. What we do will always flow out of who we understand ourselves to be. Understanding who we are informs us and equips us with what to do in the face of life's challenges. Now, of course, this goes hand in hand with knowing who God is. We cannot know who we are without understanding clearly who God is. And so it's one thing for me to say that God is with me, but what kind of God? It's one thing for you to walk out of here this morning, okay, Pastor Aaron said, God is with me. But what kind of God? A God who is condemning? A God who is judging you? A God who is always displeased with you? A God who is angry at you? Is that the kind of God that is with you? Because that's not the kind of God I read about in Scripture. It's often the kind of God that's projected onto our memory and the kind of God that we see after we've had a bad week and we show up to church 5 minutes late. That was a little bit of a side joke. No one laughed. We'll move right along. What kind of God? And I think that God foresaw that Joshua would have those very same questions that we do. God is with me. Well, what kind of God? What kind of God are you? And so he gives Joshua these instructions. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Joshua, you need to know the truth of who I am. So you need to take my word. You need to keep my word. You need to speak my word. You need to think my word. You need to cherish my word. You need to live my word. All of those principles are found in that short scripture. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Take his word, keep his word, speak his word, think his word, cherish his word, live his word. Let it shape you. Let it lead you. Let it become the pattern for your whole life. Let it shape your understanding of who God is. What kind of God is with you? A God who loves you. A God who is for you, not against you. A God who laid down his life for you. A God who is ready and willing, waiting with open arms to receive you, to embrace you, to speak life and encouragement into your heart, to walk with you through the trials, and to see you come out the other end in victory. Can I get an amen? Nothing builds faith like the Word of God. And not just reading, but having him speak to us through his Word. Paul says this in Romans, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's funny because when Paul says that, he's talking about Israel specifically. The context works for us though, because the principle is still true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And then he asks this question, did not Israel hear? And he says, of course they heard, but they didn't hear in a way that it got inside of them, where the words of Jesus got inside and they became the words that they started to live out of. We can hear in a way. You know, you can hear my words and pay attention to my words this morning, or you can hear in a way that Christ is speaking to your heart and doing something that my words can never do. And so this word that Paul uses about faith coming by hearing, it's a word that causes us to, or invites us to pay attention as we listen, to listen deeply. But what I love about this word that Paul uses, because he could have chosen a number of different words that could have meant hearing, could have led us to almost the same kind of conclusions, but he talks about or uses a word that is a deeply relational word. Listen to this morning. This is from a commentary. You think commentaries are boring. Listen to what this one commentary writer says when trying to help us understand what this word listen or hearing means. He says this, to listen is used of a person who with a knock at the door comes to listen to who it is not what is said. It's a relational word. When we open up God's word, when God starts speaking to us, it's more important that our heart is asking, who is speaking? What kind of God is speaking? What are these words revealing about the kind of God that is with me and the kind of God that died for me and the kind of God that is for me, rather than what is said? I mean, what is said is important, but we can't understand the weight or the gravity or put into practice what is said without first understanding who it is that is saying it. I wonder if we would, this week as we go to open up our Bibles, we start to read that scripture, we have that picture in our mind that God is knocking, Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, and he wants us to pay attention. He wants us to listen to who it is that is knocking. And the words that you are reading, what does it say about the God that you are serving? What does it say about this God who has promised always to be with you? Here's the thing that we have to remember though. This task of listening and hearing and getting a glimpse of who God is, the call to be strong and courageous, it is not something that we can do on our own. And it's one of the key things that the life of Joshua teaches us. You see, when Joshua first hears this command to be strong and courageous, it isn't from God. The first time Joshua hears the call to be strong and courageous is from his appointed leader, Moses. 30 days, roughly, before God speaks this directly into Joshua's heart, he spoke it into Moses' heart on behalf of Joshua. And when Joshua is commissioned by God through Moses, he says this to Moses, take Joshua, who's going to be your replacement, encourage and strengthen him. And so I can imagine for the next 30 days before Moses was to die and leave Joshua in charge, he was speaking strength and courage into the heart of Moses. But more than that, because before Joshua hears these words directly from God, God speaks them directly to his community. And so God has hidden this word of destiny, this word of promise, this word of identity, first in Joshua's leader and then in Joshua's community, the people around him. Because I imagine that Joshua is just like you and me, that there are going to be days that he forgets that he's called to be strong and courageous, that he forgets that God is with him, that he doubts in the face of the enemies, in the face of Jericho walls, in the face of the Jordan River that they're about to cross, that he will forget that he doesn't have to muster up his own strength and muster up his own courage. No, it is the strength within him from the presence of God that he is called to walk in and step into. And on the days that he forgets, he has a community around him that says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. And if you continue reading the story, it's exactly what happens. As Joshua is about to step out into the assignment that God has, the community speaks up and unleashes the word that God had hidden in their heart on behalf of Joshua, and they say to him, Joshua, be strong, be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. You see, there are promises that God has spoken in your life, and he sets you up well before you understood it. A leader called you out, called it out of you. Well, before you heard it directly from God himself, someone else spoke that word over your life. And there are days, I imagine, where you forget it, where you doubt it, where you struggle to see that it's true. God, I've been holding on to this promise. And in those days, look around. God has hidden that word of encouragement, a reminder of who you are and who you call to be in the people that you are sitting with this morning, in the community that you are called to. So this morning, as your pastor, it's my privilege to remind some of you who may have forgotten, God is with you. He has a good plan for your life. He is a good God. He is with you in the fire. He is with you in the struggle. He is with you on the mountaintop. He is with you in the valley. He has a plan and a purpose. He has a way through. He hasn't neglected you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is always with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that person who thinks that I'm speaking to the person next to them, I cannot possibly be speaking to them. No, I am speaking to you. And that person that thinks that their sin has disqualified them, I'm speaking to you. And that person who's going to go home and hear negative voices all week, a boss that criticizes, a spouse who doesn't understand, I'm speaking to you. God is with you. Be strong. Be courageous. I wonder if I could have the keyboard player up. So here's what Joshua's life has taught us so far. Real faith begins with the truth that God is with us. Real faith is about who we are before it is about what we do. Real faith grows as we come to know who God is. And real faith is developed in the greenhouse of community. And the last lesson that Joshua would teach us is the lesson of testimony. Testimony. When Joshua and Israel cross over the Jordan and into the promised land, God instructs him as the water parts, God instructs him to pick up stones, 12 stones, that then on the other side they would set up as a memorial. And this is what it says in Joshua 4, after they have crossed over. He says this, in the future, this is God speaking, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear or worship the Lord your God. Stones were to become a reminder for their relational stance of trust. Now remember from last week, Russell told us what it means when we read these words, the hand of the Lord. It's a reference to God's Spirit being poured out, God's power being manifested in the world, in our life. Let me teach you just a minute before we close about the power of testimony. The power of memorial stones. A testimony like this is designed so that you will stop listening to yourself and instead start talking to yourself. A testimony like this is designed so that when your head starts saying all these fearful things, when your heart starts panicking, a testimony causes us to stop listening to ourselves and start talking. No, this is who God is. This is what God has done. This is what He has promised He will do. It's the power of testimony, a power of, this is why Joshua, why God told Joshua, hey, set up the stone so that when you started doubting, when you started listening to your doubts and listening to your fears, you would look back at the stones and instead start talking about who God is, what He has done, and how He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then as you start talking, your inner world will get built up and you will be reminded once more that God is with you and that you can be strong and courageous. See, the power of that testimony was to remind them as they stood and faced future rivers, future barriers, uncontrollable, untamable waters, things that would prevent them from going from here to there to that place that God had called them. When they stood before an immovable force, they would remember that the main character in the story was not the river, but the mighty hand of God. Because we do that, don't we? We tend to make the main character in our story that challenge that seems immovable. That fear that it is always with us. We make that the main character. God says, no. You have a testimony that says the mighty hand of God is the main influence, the main force, and the main character in your life. Just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting having a time of silence and prayer. And we live on a somewhat busy road. And, I get up early enough where, you know, people aren't necessarily driving on the road just yet, but sooner or later, traffic starts moving I kind of sit in the front room, so it's right close to the road and you can hear the traffic. Well, God just kind of, I don't know if this was me or him, but I'm going to say it was him. And certainly it impacted me at the time. Just noticing in the gaps of the traffic, I could hear the sound of birds. Because we also live near some vacant land. There's a whole stack of trees surrounding us and there's a whole ton of birds chirping when you can hear them. I just started noticing the gaps when the noise died down. And I felt God say, can you hear the birds? And sometimes I could, and sometimes I couldn't. And the times I couldn't hear the birds were still chirping. It's just that the noise of the traffic overpowered the noise of the birds. And I think often it's the same in our spiritual life. God is with us. God is speaking. It's not that he ever leaves us or that he ever stops speaking. It's just that the noise of the traffic, the noise of the life, things coming and going in our life drowns out the sound of his voice, and the sense of his presence. And some of you this morning might be thinking this, Aaron, I don't have any memorial stones. But if you could just quieten the noise for a moment, if you could find a way to stop the traffic, do you know what you would hear? You would hear the sound of the cross and resurrection. You would hear the sound of resurrection life singing over you. You would hear the sound of his love. That's your memorial stone. That's all of our memorial stone, whether we have any other testimony or not. Our greatest, most memorial stone is the cross of Jesus Christ. And his spirit within us that confirms that we are indeed his son, his daughter, part of new creation. If he could just quieten the noise, God will remind you that this crisis you are facing in your life is not the main character. His cross is. His resurrection is. His spirit within you. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm going to take some time to reflect. And so there's a little reflection that's going to come up on the screen. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to start, and I've got us to stand so that we can just kind of hold this posture of paying attention rather than get distracted on our phones or other things that we might do when we're sitting down. Let's take a minute or two to reflect on the testimony of God's goodness in your life. And maybe you want to start with the cross. If you're struggling to remember a time where God's goodness broke in, answered prayer, word of encouragement from a friend, then start with the cross. And then in a couple of minutes, I'm going to get you to turn to one another in groups of twos or threes. Just share your testimony. Share your memorial stones. And I believe that as you do that, we're going to encourage one another this morning, that we're going to be reminded by our brothers and sisters of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, maybe when we ourselves have forgotten it. Amen. Take a moment or two. Let's reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to remind us of his goodness.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.